Are we ready, buddy?
I'm ready. Yep, just give me a countdown so I can hit the record.
I'm recording.
Contact. Man, we are recording three ways here.
I'm telling you.
This show will be
awesome. It's a threesome recording.
I think we can charge extra
for
that.
That's way to do it.
Yeah. Was that on Peter Face? Okay, let's go. that's like the opening scene. Okay.
You're listening to New Soundwave with your hosts, John DeLuna, J.D. Church, Rob Springer, Chris Triplett, and Brian Kilby.
Hey everybody, it's your old friend John DeLuna. This is New Soundwave 4-5. Wow, can you believe it? With me, the same old cast of characters, high quality characters. Amy, Peter, AKKK, Weebum, Bob,
every
XB,
time.
JD, and Brian is away. I don't know where he is, but he ain't here.
He's in the big eye in the sky.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. You know, he'll be around. He's always watching. He's like, he's always over our shoulder.
Like
right?
Big brother.
He's breathing heavily
big
and eating
Kilby
ghost
is
peppers.
Watching.
Yes, we totally need like a big ominous black and white picture of him like towering over a city.
Yes.
Well, John, you are the graphics expert.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, I just realized I just like created some work for me. Anyway.
Good job.
Thanks for volunteering, John.
Get right on that for us.
I hate it when that happens. That's like that's
creativity
when you learn.
At its best.
That's just more. Sometimes it's better just to be the quiet guy. Okay.
Don't I know it?
So, this week, much news and a fun topic. Truth be told, for one, this week is the Tokyo Game Show, and so getting lots of little tidbits coming out of that. And then after we blow through the news, most of it surrounding Tokyo Game Show. Going to talk about why in God's name can we not get decent video game movies, at least on a consistent basis. So let's get right to it. First up, Halo Reach. It's already breaking sales records, Halo 3 records. Big surprise there. It's gotten a ginormous marketing budget. And, you know, it's being marketed and advertised. And from reviews, it basically is like the big crescendo, the big closing of this iteration of Halo. Are any of you guys big into Halo? I've got some friends that are like huge into Halo.
Anybody? I haven't played it since part two.
Hey, what?
I actually pre-ordered Halo Reach around, and it came today instead of yesterday because of UPS.
Wow.
Yes, UPS sucking hardcore. But
yeah, it does that sometimes.
Yeah, but I think I'm kind of excited to play again. Yeah, I haven't played since 2. I skipped on 3, so.
Interesting. I like Halo 1 and 2, and I just kind of got tired of it. But I mean, I really liked it. I wasn't just hardcore enough to hang on this long.
Yeah, I was not hardcore enough to understand the story.
Right.
I have a question real quick about this. Is it really good?
Halo in general is really good. I mean, I can't speak about three and Reach, but yeah, I mean, it's a good franchise. I mean, it's definitely like high quality games.
Yeah. And explain how it's drastically different from other first person shooters that came out like 10 years before it.
It's not. It's just good.
Oh, it's not.
It's not. It's just one of those things where it doesn't do anything crazy, but everything it does well.
Yeah. It's just a step up from everything else that was done well. That it pretty much breaks, you know, different grounds here and there. But it's more of like an evolutionary first-person shooter than a revolutionary first-person shooter.
Right. Mm. It's also one of those things I gotta stress, and I think first-person shooters are in general like this. If you don't like that genre, Halo is not good enough to like convert you to like in first-person shooters. Yeah. So like, don't bother.
I won't.
No, I don't have an Xbox, so not a problem. I'll get right on that.
The reason why I was asking is just because, like, my brother went out and got it. He's like, ah! And so he, like, took his kids, not my kids, but he, you know, he went, he took He stole your kids. He's got three kids, and his wife usually watches them like all the time. And he volunteered to take the kids to go down and buy the game just so that she would say, yes, please, and yes, go ahead and buy a game. You deserve it for taking the kids. So anyhow,
strategy.
Long story short,
that's a great tactic.
It is a great tactic. He's also crazy for Halo, clearly. Yeah. Well, Halo definitely has like rabid, crazy fans, and you know, to be fair, they do like odd things, like they'll fly a video game character over Trafalgar Square as like a PR stunt.
Wow,
Microsoft being crazy.
Yeah, they just throw all insane money after people for Halo. But I mean, to be fair, at this point, it's like Madden every year. I mean, there's just like this rabid group of people waiting for it.
I remember when 2 was coming out, my local radio station was doing this promotion, like, do you know Halo? And they'd play all this dramatic music and ask some asinine trivia question. You could win, like, the player's guide or whatever. And it was just part 2, and it had been a few years since the first one. I was like, oh, I liked it, but is it really that big?
That was before Halo became an annual franchise.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, my God, you count down people like, well, I mean, look at the chat room. You know, Halo is the best. You shut up.
I mean, I guess it's like, I mean, Microsoft has, I don't know if it's the same people as they used to have for that Halo 2 thing, but they're putting up some crazy, they're just throwing a ton of money because they know they're going to get it back.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, basically go to YouTube and search Halo and all kinds of like commercials and short film type things come up. I mean, it's insane what they do with this game.
It always blows my mind because it was originally going to be a Mac game.
Mm-hmm.
It's really? Like, seriously?
Yeah.
Wow. What happened there?
Well, just like a Cameo and other games, sometimes they just don't go. It takes a while to finish it.
They realized that Mac is a terrible platform for gaming and decided
and
to put them on a real system.
Hey-o.
Okay. I made a point to get WoW on it, so it can't be that bad.
We want your money. That's
Hey, speaking of annual franchises, virtually Devil May Cry, it's gonna get rebooted, it looks like, and it's gonna be rebooted, and the reboot's gonna be called DMC because
Run DMC.
No, that would be good.
I wish. But yeah, if you guys
want
like
copyright.
We'll worry about that later. So if everyone's
thinking
about
shirt.
Yourself, if you're asking yourself, what could they possibly do with Devil May Cry? Well, I will tell you
exactly what you think they would do.
Exactly. we're gonna make the hero younger and more angsty and
more anime,
dark hair and more anime. And like I said, the title's going to be DMC because actual words are for old people, man. And the logo is like done in like this graffiti style. So, yeah.
Does it have
I love it how he is now like a really skinny dude with really long hair. And they kind of like turn him into like prototype.
Basically, yes.
You see a part of the trailer where he like morphs a big metal thing out of his hand. And grabs a car and smashes people with it.
That does sound, you know, marginally cool, but just imagine a Jonas brother doing that.
I can.
Like rolled around in the dirt. You don't want this game.
I like Devil May Cry when it was called Final Fight.
I didn't mean to cut you off, XB. What were you gonna say?
Oh, I was just going to ask if this DMC thing also includes a dinosaur riding a shark carrying a rocket launcher.
Because
something has led me to believe that.
Anything is possible.
Anything's possible. I mean, the dinosaur may be crying and have black lipstick, but
yes.
if you can fight
what we're saying here is let me make a game.
Yes.
Well, someone
I think
make
the best part about
it.
What didn't make sense in the trailer was, I guess they tried to make it stylized and cool, is that in the game, I guess you're going to have, in order to shoot some people, which are weird, bizarre things, you have to run up to them first, and at point blank range, you have to shoot them, or else you don't win the game.
Shoot them in the face.
Yes.
Because guns are only good for, like, close-in combat. Like,
right.
You know. Right. You're like 2 inches from a person. That's when you whip out the gun.
That's yeah. that way you know it works. Sword.
If you don't see the burn marks on them after you shoot them, you have not done it right.
Yeah. Yes, if the gunpowder doesn't hit their face before the bullet, what is the point? okay, so all right, moving on to something that some people are calling like Capcom's version of God of War. I guess so, maybe. It's a game called Azura's Wrath. It is by Capcom, like I said, and you know what? Okay, so it's basically this is being shown at the Tokyo show. It's basically, I guess it is basically God of War. You play a mythical kind of beast-like warrior, and you run around hacking and slashing like crazy. It's going to be a multi-platform game.
Hmm.
And it's got blood for days, buckets. And, you know, basically, I mean, basically, if you want more God of War, I mean, this is going to be right up your alley. Just even more outlandish and furry-like, I must
more
admit.
More sex games?
So, like... I guess the odds would be too that this is going to be out on Xbox as well. So,
oh yes,
everybody that's been queuing that they couldn't play God of War.
So a multi-platform God of War.
The first one.
Yeah,
and not a continuous port to PSP.
Hey JD, this next story is right up your alley.
Oh, okay.
Do you love cutscenes in your games like StarCraft II?
Sort of, I guess. I mean, as long as they're done well.
Do you love them enough to pay $30 for just those cutscenes?
Let me think about that. No.
No, for $50 that the game costs.
Well, Activision doesn't want to hear from either one of you guys because they're talking about doing that. Apparently, they think so much of their cutscenes. And let's be honest, they've probably spent so much on their cutscenes that they're going to look at selling them kind of like as short movies.
That makes no sense.
You know, I love his quote.
Go for it, Peter.
I love his quote. If we were to go to our audience and say that we have this great hour and a half of linear video that we would like to make available to you at a $30 price point or $20 price point, you'd have the biggest opening weekend of any film ever. What he failed to say was that while cutscenes are cool and it's a way for you to show off your graphic prowess while trying to mask loading times, I will not pay $30 to see an hour and a half movie when I can go to a movie theater and pay $11.50 and buy a shitload of a crap load of popcorn that's really crappy and a whole bunch of butter, and I could possibly die from it for $20. I am not going.
I don't know what games you're playing, but if you're definitely talking about like a Blizzard game, no, you have separate load times just to load the cutscenes. So
No. If I can remember
The F lady's walking in the snow again.
So great. Thanks, Activision, for showing again that there is another way that game makers are trying to do their best to just, you know, milk you of as much money as they possibly can.
I believe the word you're looking for there, Peter, is screw you over.
Yeah, bend you over the table.
That's right. We're not PEG here. Go for it.
Illustrate. There's so much irony here.
And I guess it's just another way that I know how we had jumped over this, but they're trying to ban people from selling used games because it's cutting into their profits.
Yeah, and they'll openly tell you that, though. I mean, like they openly say, well, we don't make any money off used games. Okay.
Great.
You already made it.
What am I going to do with this copy that I no longer want? Like, I have the right as a person who bought this game to get rid of it.
Well, except they think they've only sold you a license to the game.
Right. So
yes.
You may want to explain the backstory on this.
Yeah.
If I can hold it in my hands, it's real. It's mine.
You know. It comes down to like a big. Well, they want you to believe it's a philosophical argument, but it's pretty straightforward. Up until this point.
What's the base argument, though? I mean, I guess if we're going to talk about it, we probably ought to explain what the
Somebody run over the actual story so we're not, like, going three directions at once with it.
Well, there's lots of stories related to this. I think the story that I'm most familiar with – well, actually, yeah, so in short, some game companies are, you know, trying to circumvent used games. And then it makes it even more complicated when resellers like GameStop come out and say used games are a messy business, but they're virtually our only business. You know, without used games, we wouldn't be in business. Mm-hmm. So that's an even bigger wrinkle to the game companies. But yes, in essence, there's now this current debate on using downloadable content, online play, certain one-time codes when you buy a new game, different ways to make it incredibly distasteful to buy a used game, to make it so once the original buyer is done with the game, they're basically reselling a shell of the game, or, you know, half of what the game could be. That is controversial, to say the least, especially just because up until this point we have taken it for granted. And actually, if you look at most other types of products that aren't like this, that there is a thinking of when you buy it, you own it. And so there's this feeling of, so now you're saying I never fully own it, or, you know, I only the first owner has it. It's like owning a chair, and then when you sell it, there's only three legs. You know, it's just an odd philosophical thing. But I mean, I think we'll end up.
Here's something to think about too. I mean, not you're saying this, and, you know, because like books. How is that any different from people that have books, you know, that buy books, like hardback books from the store, and decide to turn around and, like, you know, sell it afterwards?
Well,
is that from people that have, like, DVDs or CDs of music? I mean, if you're going to get that nitpicky about it, I think it's really smart about what they're doing with the downloadable gameplay, because, you know, honestly, right now, you know, I'm playing War for Cybertron. But that's only half the game. The other half is downloading the content that makes it even more fun. And I think that's reasonable to say, okay, well, you're going to get half the game then. And then the rest of it, you're going to have to go and download stuff from online. I think that's reasonable.
But that's not what they're saying. I mean, and I agree. I mean, I understand your point. But what they're really saying is that, and like I said, I mean, there's two sides to it, essentially. The problem that we had before was a technological problem. When you wrote a book, your idea would be that you would sell that book as an idea to a person, right? I mean, it from a marketing standpoint.
Oh, a story, but there's no way to do that. I don't know if it's an idea, but
there's no way to do that without actually printing a book and handing it to them. And once you've handed it to them, then it's in their hands and they can do whatever they want. So if they read it, they now have possessed the intellectual property that you produced. And they can, just because it's a physical object, hand it to someone else to read. So in a sort of – I mean, just a technology standpoint, everything had to be physical media, whether it was a game or software. There had to be discs. There had to be ways to transfer that. Well, now that's not the case. And I think that what some of the developers are saying is that they never really intended for users to be able to – sell or resell their property. The intention was that if you as a consumer want to purchase the game, the book, the movie, whatever, then that's for you to purchase, not for you to purchase and then turn around and sell the unused portion, because there isn't an unused portion. If you read a book, you've read it. You've gained whatever intellectual knowledge or information or entertainment was contained in that book. And for you to turn around and then sell that book to someone else, it's not like the value of that book decreased. And that's the entire point of a secondary market, is typically you're buying products that have a certain amount of diminished value. But that's not true of video games or books or music, movies, these kinds of products. So I understand their point. My concern is that if that's the case, then that's going to have to drastically change the market price. Because part of what's built into the market price right now is the fact that there is these secondary markets, and the producers feel that they are losing out on profits because consumer A buys product and then sells it to consumer B and consumer C, and they're only seeing profits from consumer A. And so I sort of agree with the point that if it's going to go down the line, but the idea would be is sending it directly to the consumers, and it's only one consumer per purchase, they're going to be able to sell more, therefore the prices should be lower. But
except that if they eliminate used sales from the figures completely, what they will instead do is double the price because, hey, how the hell else are you going to get a copy?
Well, that's a potential problem, and that's what I say. As consumers, we're going to have to be responsible and, you know, work that out with – because the other choice then is going to be pirating. So right. They're either going to have to deal with just straight pirating or the secondary market, and the way to deal with the pirating is to bring the price down. Look at music downloads. By making songs $1 per download, it's not done away with all of music pirating, but it's at least brought it down to a point that it's manageable, that they're at least that –
That's not true.
Before they're thinking
– Record companies still bitch and complain every day about the fact that they –
It'll never be good enough.
They will never be good enough until everybody pays $10 for a song and $50 for a CD that has two good songs on it, and the rest are
fine because it's a compromise, right? I mean, it's a compromise between between what you're willing to pay and what they're willing to sell it for. And if what people are unhappy, then that's probably about right.
I guess what really sets me off is that the one that I guess really got the debate sort of going on again on these video game blogs is that the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals overruled that this individual who purchased a copy of AutoCAD from an engineering firm that was selling it, he purchased it and then turned around and sold it to somebody on eBay.
Right.
And Autodesk, which owns AutoCAD, said, no, you cannot do that because you agreed that you would not sell this. But he said, I didn't agree to this, so I can sell it because he didn't install the software. But their argument is that they have the first of sale because it's their product.
But in that case, the original owner had a EULA, and it stated that they were not allowed to resell that product. Right. So he shouldn't have even had the product. He should not have possessed the product in the first place.
Right, but that's
you can't turn around and sell product that you're not supposed to own anyway.
But what they're saying is that regardless of the fact that you paid what – I don't know how much AutoCAD is, but I'm guessing it's a large amount of money. And
yeah, AutoCAD's I think like 400 or something.
Yeah, it's something crazy, right? So that's fine. That's good and plenty. If I need it, I will gladly purchase this for my business for $450 or $500 or whatever. But the fact that I don't own this product after I bought this much, why make it so expensive? Why not just say when you're done with this, your copy will expire or something like that? Why do I have to spend $450 just to get the right to purchase this, to be able to use this?
And this is what's making the video game and software thing different from other forms of resale, which is that the courts are starting to side with the developers in that, no, you can't sell this. You don't even really technically own it.
And that's because they built in
the
licensing.
The next thing that's going to happen is that books and music will become like they have been, completely and totally downloadable from the internet. And when is it going to start saying, well, now every single time, just the right to read something is going to be this, and just you know, where is the line going to get drawn?
Yeah. Somewhere in 1984.
You know that lawyers will find a way to twist it that direction too. So it's like, you know, I don't understand. I mean, I am completely fine with buying extra downloadable content so that I can enjoy my game more.
But that's not what we're talking about. And I mean, I understand that, but that's not the issue. The issue is the primary product. And
the disc that you buy that you can stick into your computer.
But that's the thing. You're not buying the disc. You're buying the game. You're not buying a disc. You're buying what's on the disc. You're buying that game. And that's different than if you're buying a car or a horse or if you're buying a house. Because when you buy those things, they have a certain amount of depreciation over time. But the value of the content of a book or the content of a song or the content of a game, that doesn't diminish necessarily over time or over users.
But yet a used book is sold for half the price of a hardback originally just came out book.
But there's no reason. But what I'm saying is that you're in that sense, you're saying, well, maybe you're buying the physical book itself. So you're talking about the condition of the paper. But as far as what the actual value of that product is, it's the content, it's the words, it's the intellectual idea. And that's it's moving from that concept of actual physical objects to bits and ideas that are intangible.
Like I said, this is Pandora's box. Once this hits the courts and things start going one direction, what's going to stop them from going to the furthest extreme? That's what I'm saying.
You know what the irony here is?
Yeah.
What this whole conversation started off from Activision wanting more money.
Yeah.
Anyone recall how Activision started in business to begin with? No. The hippies that worked for Atari were getting mad that they weren't getting individual credit.
That's right. Yeah.
Weren't getting individual credit or their rights due. And now it's like, oh no, our rights are worth so much more than you can imagine.
So what we should say is we acknowledge that you made this game and suck it up because you just got your credit.
Well, I'm here. I hope that the games that they're making then are good enough to be able to say, hey, you know, all
that's
right.
That's the irony. Nope.
Yes.
If they're not, the irony, then no. People will still buy them, though.
and even with like music, right? There, a lot of people are arguing that you didn't buy the rights. You didn't actually buy this song. You bought the license. You bought the right to listen to this song.
I think in the end, we can all agree.
If you're gonna get that petty, people will just stop using it. I mean,
The only answer is to talk about video game movies. How about that? Huh?
Okay.
Huh?
That sounds good.
How about that for transition?
True. We could continue to have this nice debate.
Professional over here.
Let's have
more happy fun time talks. First, before we get to the video game movie talk, hey, if you're looking to pre-order a Kinect, if you pre-order a Kinect and another game from Amazon, you get a $30 credit. How about that? Cool. New Soundwave trying to save you some money. Let's see what else here in the news. Peter, bless Peter. He found like this wicked awesome NES bedspread that will tweet.
I want to sleep in that bed.
I got an idea. All you prospective Twitter followers and friends for us.
Oh, that's awesome.
If you follow us, we're going to start during and a little bit after the show. We're going to tweet awesome links and stuff for you. So see more reasons to follow us on New Soundwave.
Maybe we'll even tweet some of the funny images Rob puts in the show notes.
Yes.
Perhaps.
If they won't mentally scar you.
Yes. So if you want to be mentally scarred, follow us on Twitter.
Yeah.
Guarantee you will sleep at least half an hour less.
Apparently, Jean-Claude Van Damme is friends with Jesus Christ.
Well, yeah. Sure. They may be the same person. I don't know what that image is saying there. You know.
If I was not a Twitter follower, just based off of that type of pitch that you put there, I would totally start following you.
Yes.
And that's why, John, it's a marketing.
Just for the effort. The effort was awesome.
Our show notes for a movie in themselves.
Happy fun time topic to wrap up the show. It turns out that the latest Resident Evil, God, what is this, like the fifth one, the fourth one?
Fourth?
It's the fourth one, and they're going to make a fifth one from Twitter followers providing them ideas.
Well, what about that CG movie
that
came
spells
out last
awesome. Year? Do what now, Rob?
They had that CGI movie that came out last year in Japan and direct a video here. So they can't even keep up with how many movies they put out at this point.
No, the demand is crazy.
People damnation.
Who knows what? It should have been like Resident Evil 4 Life or something like that. They need to start playing off the numbers just for the heck.
4 Life.
So this brings up the question because a spoiler alert: Resident Evil movies are not good. nor are 99% of movies that are based on video games. So I ask you people, why can Hollywood not get this right? As video game players, I mean, we're subjects to this. Really, it hurts us more than just the average moviegoer. So why can they not get this kind of transition right?
Well, you got to look at just the fact that the people behind these movies have more ego than brains.
Like U-Bowl, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, okay, here's a movie, here's a game that's full of story. Full of story. Can you guys derive a script from that? Yeah, we could, but we don't really think that's what people want to see. The game has sold enough to warrant a damn movie. People want to see it. Well, what if Bowser was a guy with spiked hair? Do you hear what I'm saying?
It's enough. Dustin Hoffman, specific.
Yeah, it's like, well, Resident Evil really doesn't have much of a story to begin. You know, I'm about to slap you right now.
It's so weird that, is there a thought, I don't know, right or wrong, that is there a thought there that people like outright don't want to see like the same story they played on the screen?
I thought that was the entire point. You want to see the story you played on the screen. Otherwise, why is it a video game movie?
Yeah, I think that's what everybody expects and always wants. But I wonder if there's like a conscious idea in Hollywood, you know, that, okay, these people have played through this story. They don't want to see this story again. That's like so incredibly flawed, but I do wonder like if that's what they think. Because we never get like anything close. I guess the Silent Hill movies are fairly, I mean, they certainly come across as the heavily researched, the game is heavily researched, but for the most part, no other video game movie is much like that. Mortal Kombat 1, maybe, but
Street Fighter,
the rules.
Best
Street
movie
Fighter
ever.
to a fault, but Street Fighter, I guess, to be fair to the movie makers, Street Fighter is one of like the most horrid examples for fiction, because the Street Fighter just for the most part really doesn't pay attention to fiction. It's all over the board.
I guess the
anime adaptations of Street Fighter are quite good.
Well, Mortal Kombat, it was pretty easy because the whole concept of Mortal Kombat was already a straight to video movie. I mean, the whole thing came around with, can we get Jean-Claude Van Damme to be in a game for us? You know, it's corny movies, but then it's like, yeah, the animated ones come up pretty well, but at what point is like, hey, Doom has a really big following, let's make a movie of it. Now we got The Rock, and now they're fighting mutants instead of demons. It's just like it, right?
Although that first-person shooter segment,
that was like the only redeeming factor.
Yeah.
I have a theory why it doesn't work. I kind of look at it like this. It's because like I'm an aspiring writer and all of that stuff, but if I was doing like, if I was getting like job pitches from people, I'm just like a writer that's going to pull a bunch of elements together and make a story or whatever that's based off of like a game. One, are they really actually sitting down and enjoying that experience? Are they already fans of that themselves? Because half the time, some of them are, or they profess that they are, but some of them really aren't. And so do they have the chance to actually really appreciate it, or have they not? Because I think that makes a difference in the style and what they are actually trying to do on the movie screen when they translate it to a movie screen. So I kind of look at this and think, well, it might be what, like, you know, you said, where they've got kind of the ego in there. I think this is what people will like. You know, I really think if they really sit down and get the real essence of the story and the elements that make it what it is and understand why this is why people like it, then they'll get it right. And half the time, I think it's just they're pulling elements together and there really is no reason for it. And so if the passion's not there to make it work.
Well, to go with that, I got two words for you.
What?
Orky and Kurtzman.
Yeah. No,
we're
Ames
fans.
Point.
Yeah,
Ames
we're fans.
Point.
It's the same problem that we have with Transformers. Like, yeah, whatever.
Liking it makes you a fan. I guess they got us on that one.
We can only hope if they write a video game movie, it'll have, like, giant steel testicles somewhere.
Yes.
Slip those in. That's clearly their hallmark. You know, to Amy's point,
right?
That writers are not video gamers, or they don't really like get us. If that's true, and I certainly think up until this point, or at least like through our childhood, through the 80s and 90s, that was probably true because writers were in their 30s and 40s at that point and were a little old to be, you know, gamers. Now, writers in Hollywood are still in their 30s and 40s, but they grew up as gamers, or certainly more of them. So in theory, should we expect better attempts at movies like this as we get older?
Well, the writers maybe, but the producers are still getting older and older.
That's true.
And they, at the end of the day, they're like, that's not going to make a lot of money.
I know it'll probably never make it, ever. But it, I don't know. I think that the Halo movie would have been quite good, but they just could never get that off the ground.
You say that until Master Chief is fighting Russians.
Right. Well, I don't know. I mean, Peter Jackson did quite well with, you know,
King Long.
What's that?
King Long. Always remember that adaption.
Yeah, well, the World of Warcraft movie is still green.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, that's
always Stretch Armstrong. So yeah, I don't really.
There you go. Well,
wow.
Here's where producers can step in and ruin something. Well, other than every other video game movie. You guys remember the Dungeons and Dragons movie?
I remember the commercial. They never actually watched the movie
itself.
I
remember there was a movie.
Okay, it's godforsaken awful. You know, it's terribly bad. All the actors are overacting, which you're like, okay, I expect this in a movie, but that's Jeremy Irons. Shouldn't he act correctly? I mean, that, you're like, that's Jeremy Irons. He should be the one saving grace of this movie, and he's overacting. Well, comes to find out later on, that was originally planned for him to start off the movie with the guys sitting around the table about to play Dungeons & Dragons, and then at the end they were wrapping up, making all this stupidity make a whole lot of sense. Being like, oh, well, that's why Jeremy Irons is, like, over the top. He's a dork sitting behind a table. So, you know, it was kind of tongue-in-cheek in theory when they're coming up with it. And then what happens? That's stupid.
Yeah. So, like, this I guess the issue with video game movies is they, you know, there are a lot of games. Some games, most games do, but not all of them take themselves seriously, right? They poke fun here and there. And that's a lot of the... That's a lot of the issues as well, right? Like you were saying, Rob, they originally had this concept where it's a huge tongue-in-cheek thing where they made fun of themselves. But then it turns out that they scrapped that idea. Like, no, let's make a movie that actually totally makes sense where you're fighting dragons in dungeons. They take themselves – the issue is the producers and the people believe that fans are – you know, they take this video gaming seriously. And while many people do – they also use it as a form of entertainment and not as something that they would necessarily die for or go to their death for, right? So why not make it more fun, which is what video games are. They're fun, regardless of what type of game you're playing. So
not to mention – oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying – they just wanted to – and that they take themselves way too seriously and they don't – and it's very hard for a movie that takes itself seriously to not come off as corny, even not as non-video games, right? Like video movies that take themselves way too seriously can sometimes turn into a campy humor, which is what most of these games are. They're just so bad, they're laughably awesome.
See, one thing that I think we're not thinking of here, or at least should be brought up, is other than the fact that I'm awesome, is...
and laughably awesome.
Pause for laughing. But no, movie producers don't think in terms of, okay, let's appease the core audience. Let's don't go for the this is an adaption. We're going to only appease them so much because we're getting their money regardless. And how we get the rest of the world, you know, they want to make as much as possible, so they got to tailor it for the mainstream audience. I mean, the X-Files movie wasn't as heavy as the X-Files show, which, you know, still was on Fox Friday nights, just still a primetime show. But like these things are like, this is why in Transformers it took so long for us to get Optimus Prime saying something. They had to like, okay, you guys were going to swallow it. But that dude back there is like, okay, that's it. I've had it. And he's going to walk out and want his money back. You know, that's where I think a part of it is them trying to tailor it for the mainstream audience, because it's like, okay, you know what? In 1992, the Mario Brothers movie was like, okay, really? We're making this? Really? Now they can probably pull it off as a CGI FS and all that and make it lighthearted and all that. Back then, like, they're like, okay, who bought the license?
Yeah, panic.
How are we going to make this?
The second they see it. Speaking of panic, this may be a little off topic, but we'll wrap up the show with this. I'm gonna actually, since it seems like it's going to be such a big hit, once again, follow us on Twitter and you will not be sorry. we will tweet some links to the Spider-Man musical. If you haven't heard about that, if you haven't seen that, oh yes,
you're missing out.
So every song number is going to be a tune to the tune of the old cartoon theme song, isn't it?
Yeah, we can only hope. We only hope. All right, as a preview, all I can tell you is there's a villain named Swiss Miss. Yeah. She looks like Bag and Eyes. That's right.
Hot
so
chocolate.
Anyway, good discussion, guys. Two for the price of one. Two big discussions.
We're all about the brains.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
We're big on value over here. On
yeah, we're yeah. all about the more bang for your buck.
I ain't paying nothing for XP's mom.
Or XP's
so, that does it for this week. By the way, do yourself a favor. Go to tfradio.net and just soak in all the good podcasty podcastness. We've got the mother show, RFC. We've got New Sound Wave, which is happening right now in your ears. Superhero
Is that what it is? I thought I was having an aneurysm.
It could be both. But at least one of those
things. It's a really good, maybe bad dream.
Again,
I think it's that clown that you were looking at, XV.
Yeah.
That's the clown.
We've got Fanboy Versus, Outside the Cage, our MMA pro wrestling rawr podcast. And
which
we
will probably come back at some point.
It will come back. And RC Throwback will come back at some point. RC Throwback, made with real sugar, real geeks. And it has been rumored to exist and produce new content from time to time. Anyway. All that and more is at tfradio.net. Once again, when you go to tfradio.net, be sure to follow us on Twitter, friend us on Facebook, and again, just enjoy all the goodness, the radio candy, the audio candy.
Just lather yourself in that awesome
right. Just
video.
Cover yourself. Just go,
jump right in and just
put some, put some soft Barry White on.
Yeah.
Get yourself in the mood for the best podcasting of your life. So,
the noise
for
is
the crew, I am John DeLuna. We'll see you next week on New Soundwave. Adios.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
This has been New Soundwave with your hosts, John DeLuna, JD Church, Rob Springer, Chris Triplett, and Brian Kilby. New Soundwave is a Radio Free Cybertron production. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Copyright 2010 Radio Free Cybertron.